6:12 on Tuesday, March 30th. This is going to be an episode 297. Let's take a look. Let's start out with, what does this number mean? How you guys doing? You good? There's not a lot of number informations. There's a lot of other stuff. Here we go. The angel number can, by sending you the angel number 297, they're saying that the power to your destiny is in your hands, say the masters. But 297 is 3 times 3 times 3 times 11. And the sum of its divisors is 480. It's got 8 different divisors. And I have been geeking out on Euler and the pentagonal numbers this morning. And I can tell you about that a little bit. Basically, this is way more complicated than I can handle at this point, but it has to do with the number of empty spaces in if you have a circle with n number of dots, and you connect all the lines, how many unique spaces do you have? And the formula is incredibly complicated. It has to do with a machine that can also find the prime numbers from Euler. It's like the Fibonacci, but it adds and subtracts numbers. It's some pretty crazy stuff. And the solution from the Indian mathematician, the great one, Rama, has pi and I and infinity and E. It's got like every single magical number you can imagine in there. And has an approximation. But there are some very interesting mathematical problems, and you don't need to look outside of mathematics to find interesting problems. And Euler cracked this one. And I do think that part of finding these solutions is training the left hand, right brain on these different infinite sequences and generators that can attack various problems. So we're going to continue. We're not giving up. We're creating more and more interesting things to look at as we go. We, the podcast, you and me, my listeners, the one person giving me feedback, it's like, me, my dad, and the surveillance state. Isn't that funny? So I just had to listen to Free Talk Live this morning. I had to think about them. And it turns out that they were all arrested. for running an illegal business or something. And one of the hosts has gotten out of jail area. And they have just listening to the show today for the first time in a long time. Sounds like the libertarians are being cracked down on. I guess part of the new push by the government against potential belligerents in the war on your mind. So how you guys doing? So yesterday, I dropped my kid off. Oh, I have a clip that I'm going to play that I recorded yesterday afternoon. I'll just, why don't I just insert that right here. So let me stop tape and I'll insert that clip right here. Okay, well, this is an experimental talk here. I'm just waiting for my kid with his karate. And I thought I would just check in with some things I've been working on today. So, at work, I'm taking a, I don't know if I mentioned, I'm taking cloud formation templates and converting them to Ansible. So that's coming along nicely, actually. At least I'm starting to wrap my head around how to read these things. Using a parser to convert. Something I'm going to have to think about some more. At all these different technologies, and we talked about all this before on previous episodes, and in reality they all boil down to calling API calls, except CloudFormation, which we don't even have the source code to. But it looks like there's continuous delivery for CloudFormation. You just post your templates and have them continuously update. So that's kind of cool, actually. That would be a reason for using them. So, something to think about. And then, what else am I thinking about? Oh, some huge buzzards here, or vultures. See if this water works. Looks like they turn the water off. So, I know this is a pretty bad recording. So I worked on the times two binary tree, trying to explain it to my son, and I started exploring it, and it's quite neat, because if you take the rightmost side of it, it's the power of two. So if you always, well, actually leftmost side, if you're looking at it from the top, it's the rightmost side. So if you always make a right-hand turn, it's always times two. So you start with 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, etc. And every different level is double the size. And then if you want to go up a level, you do half, you do a 1/2. So 16 divided by 2 is 8, and that'll take you to that node. So that's all kind of neat. And then if you want to go to the right, to the left, or the other side, you add 1. So you can reach everything with up, down, left, and right. You can navigate to any number on that tree. So I just started looking at some of the multiples of other numbers. You got multiples of 5. You got multiples of 3. And if you take 3 times 2 and you keep on going, and you take 9 times 2 and keep on going, eventually it'll be like 9 times something. The 9 times will include the 3 times table in it on the right-hand side. So you have the 144 occurring later on, something plus 144. There's all types of neat patterns in there. And then the final column, the far left side or the far right side, whatever you want to say, it's always the number plus 1. Times 2. So you take 1 plus 1, or 1 times 2 plus 1. So that's 3. 3 times 2 is 6 plus 1, that's 7. 7 times 2 plus 1, that's 15. So it's always going to be 1 less than the 2 squared. So you could also do it as 16 minus 1. And those numbers are also neat. I was looking at the digital root of those. And I think what we're going to do next is we're going to make that full tree with all the numbers and then do all the digital roots, because the digital roots on the power of 2 are everything except the 6, then the 9, and the 3. And for the power of 3, it just goes 6, 9, or is it 3, 6, 3, 6, 3, 6. So there's some interesting properties of that. Once we explore that system, we can also then explore powers of 3, which will then also be 3 raised to something. And powers of 10 would be 10 raised to something. And the digit tree is also quite interesting. Oh, look at these deer. 1, 2, 3, 4 deer. Deer. Yeah, I see a deer. Mm-hmm. So, anyway. Any whoosies. So, having fun with all that, I still haven't had the time to work all of this out. But I will. And we're still building up our mental models. I talked to my dad today. He's like, well, how will these multidimensional parabolas look like? And as far as I can see, a fourth dimensional, it's like multiple 3D ones if you put them next to each other, like a series of statues. But also, if you pin the fourth dimension to one constant, or take one slice of it, then you also just get a third dimensional. So every third dimensional object is a slice of a fourth dimension. And we're going to find out more all about this. When I find out more, I'll let you know. These are just at the beginnings of these explorations here. And then he was also asking, like, well, why don't I promote this some more? And the thing is that there's some really great YouTube videos, and I'm not any better than any of that stuff yet. But we're going to get there. I do think I found that one area on the parabola issue where I see something that he didn't cover. And also, I want to create these videos. I want to create games. So not just a video, but I want to create a game. I want it to be interactive. I want it to have some fun aspect to it. And I think we could also include some voice. I mean, why not put my voice in there and explain something? So, basically, have different characters or different things in the game that you could talk to or navigate through. And in the end, you could just play it as a video, but it would generate the video. So the video would be generated by some sequence. It has some video clips that you could watch embedded, and then some animations. I think that'd be neat. Neat. Da, 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 da. And then have some music, some sounds, and some colors, and everything. So we're going to get there. We're just at the beginning of this journey. And we can watch it unfold. This is like the captain's log. The ship's log. Stardate, blah, 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 the other voyages. Well, this is really too muddy here to hang out. I'm going to go somewhere else. All right. Okay. You see my audio editing skills are so amazing. I can just stop tape. And then, boy, those cars are loud, aren't they? I can just stop tape at any time and insert clips. That's about all I do nowadays. The height of my editing skills, or even I'm just looking at the waveform of those cars. They're so freaking loud. So my hands are getting nice and warm. It's a cold morning. We have a full moon though today. It's very beautiful. And I think yesterday was a full moon, 28th, so this is the day after the full moon, or the night of the full moon, the morning of after the full moon, I don't know, the 28th, actually it was 2 days. So, yeah, just thinking about all types of stuff from yesterday at work, which I won't talk about. So let's get on track here. So after I recorded that clip, I was at the one park, which was basically a swamp. It's like, yeah, we got some swamp land at the bottom of the valley that's totally flooded. Let's call that a park. Yeah, nice tax write-off. And it's right next to the city dump. So you get the city dump leaching, I guess it's dump stuff into the stream there. It's pretty scary to imagine. Not that I'm any expert on it. So I go there, and then I'm like, okay, I'll go to... Where did I go? Oh, I went to this plant place to look at the plants. And I go in there and it's a nursery. It's like a a ghost town. So I go in, I want to make sure that it's open. I don't want to be trespassing. So I go in, I look for the dude. Finally, I find the dude hiding in some building. I'm like, hey, you don't have to get up. I'm just looking around. So I wander around for about half an hour, looking at all the plants, thinking about what plants I want to get, and just wondering how expensive these plants are. And then when I go to leave, the guy has already locked the front gate and basically locked me into the nursery. I'm like, oh God. So, then he's like, oh, no problem. He opens the door, or he says he's sorry. He opens the gate and the police are standing there. And there's like four police cars, like basically blocking the road for my exit. And this police officer said that someone called the police. And it was really weird. It's like I couldn't even. They had blocked all the doors. They had four cars there and had blocked the exit. And they said something like, did someone call the police? And then they left. But it was very strange that they had so many people there, and they had left for no reason, and were there for no reason. I don't know. It was just weird. Weird behavior. So I just want to note that weird behavior. And it really got me thinking, like, why would they do that? What are the possible scenarios? And there's obviously a lot of stuff I don't know. But it seemed to be an awful lot of people, an awful lot of police cars there. For someone maybe calling the police. I wonder if there's any records of any calls going in yesterday. Yeah, so that was interesting. So, what else is new? Oh, we've been watching this stupid series one, which has got to be one of the worst written shows known to man. It has some good points to it, but it's just very, very badly written. I just clicked on what to watch next, and Netflix picked it. So I do have some news. I listened to the Random Zeitgeist, which kind of like talks about what's trending. And I just ignore their political statements. And I guess you have to. Now with my new factoring theory, I just realized they're all factors of two. But I was thinking maybe we could switch it around and say the factors of two are like people who think that hard work will get them somewhere, but don't get it. And factors of three are the people who think they don't have to work. And then all the other primes are different variations of that, with smaller and smaller intersectionalities. I was kind of thinking of that. Maybe it's too simplified. But now with my new model of understanding politics, I'm less hurt. I'm starting to be able to decode things better. And we have to realize that when we listen to people talk from a certain political perspective, that they're speaking to the choir. And if it offends you, that just means you're not part of the belief system. It's a polarizing So I just ignore it. And I found this other podcast. Oh my God. This guy's like right-wing, anti-communist. He's praising Pinochet, talking about throwing communists out of airplanes. It's pretty crazy. And he has Michael Malice on. I'll have to get the name. I couldn't even listen to all of that. I was thinking if I take a book from one little library and just put it in another little library, how would that be? Because we got two on the same street. So I could just check a book out from one and check it into the second. Oh. So my books are still there, but they got resorted. So someone took one out and put one in between them. So we'll track that. At Molly's little library. I just saw Molly in the window. So here's the news. So yesterday I was listening to people talk about Amazon trying to unionize. And then promptly after that, I saw the next day, the news was that Boston Dynamics has a new Amazon robot for moving boxes that doesn't get tired. And I thought that these two are connected. These are two sides of the same oppression coin. It's either work your ass off and don't unionize, or we bring in the robots and replace your butts. I think that's kind of the message that I got from that. It's not dead sound, it's live sound. Listen to those birds. How many different birds are there? What are they saying? I guess I have gotten down into certain routine walk points. And I think I've walked most of the city on this side of the highway. Now there's a whole section of the city on the other side of the highway. the 95 kind of splits New Jersey into the east side and the west side. East side, west side. And was it 295? It's basically a wall that separates the poor from the rich, with certain gates. And you really can't get across it very easily. So I guess in my walks, I'll have to start exploring the other side of that highway, which I have. But I've really covered most of this city. So my son got another number one spot in his game, eliminating 100 players in a solo match. And so he has two solo wins, which is pretty good. He thinks he wants to do a tournament. And I support him in his efforts to get better at something. He's definitely better than me now in that game. That could also just be a tribute to how many new players are coming in, but not everyone plays solos. Oh, that's good coffee. We found some more bags of coffee, so we're good. I've been distributing bags of coffee to everyone. And, yesterday I really wanted to sit down and read a book. I haven't read in a long time. I want to read that Euler book. The story of his life as a mathematical genius. And just to realize where do you put your emphasis? And to gain a mathematical understanding of things. And I'm starting to get interested in these proofs and understand how people can achieve the proof. And what are the structures of proofs? I've always looked into computer proofs, proving computer systems and proving software, and they're so horrible and so hard to read and so ununderstandable. And I guess that's also because I'm lacking the foundation in math. And the reason why people choose to prove in a certain way is their mathematical training. But some of the proofs are geometric or visual. And I know this is all very dilettante-ish. It's like, why don't you tell us something about what you know? And what do I know? What is it that I know? My son says, tell me a story. And I always struggle to come up with stories, but I'm getting better. And I realize that a lot of my knowledge is fragmentary. I have little bits and bobs here and there, little fragments of things, but not the whole thing. The fidelity is not that great. The truth or the closeness to the original. Boy, this moon is just crazy. Okay, I have to take this shot here. Here's our friend, the guy who got his toes cut off. And a full moon. No alcoholic beverages or littering. What about quads? Trends picking up. Join us, Douglas H. Palmer Mayor. I saw a car the other day that said Mayor on it. But I have a theory, guys, that you might like or might not like. And it has to do with parallel universes and prime numbers. And that maybe there's harmonics in the parallel universes. Maybe there's such a thing as a prime number in the parallels. And maybe the halls of power are occupying certain parallel or multiple parallel universes inharmonic with each other. So we'd have truly multidimensional beings that occupy not just one slice of reality, but multiple slices of reality that are harmonious or congruent with each other. Multiple dimensions, like we talked about. And somehow someone has solved a problem not just for one world, but for multiple worlds together in a bundle. That's one theory. And then we have to get into the fungus, where I do think that the fungus would occupy multiple worlds. By its very nature, it just grows everywhere. So if there is a parallel world, it would be there, and it would just be growing into it and somehow connected. It doesn't have to make too many decisions. It just goes everywhere, and anywhere it can go, it goes. So that's the proof right there that The slime mold, the single cellular monster of vast proportions, will go into every dimension because it can. How's that for a proof? Well, we know that on a full moon, that the moon is opposite of the sun. It's on the exact opposite side of the planet. And so if this moon is going down, then by the time the sun on the other side comes up, I should be home. So I can just track the moon's progress as the opposite of the sun, in opposition. What do you think? Hey, good morning. Did you ever hear your skeleton cracking when you're swimming? When you're in the swimming pool, you hear those cracks. You hear the clicks. Your skeleton clicking. That's pretty crazy, isn't it? You can also hear it when you're walking. Crick, crack, clickety clack. Well, now that spring is here, I'm so happy to go on these morning walks because I don't feel that crazy need to go out during the day. I get my fix. Get my fix of my walk, my drugs, the endorphins, which I share with you. We go into our trance, our deep thought, and I share that as well. So there's definitely a function, something going on here. Something is going on. Let's check the time. 6:48. We are good for time. I think we're going to go down to the river. I'm going down to the river. Going down to the river. At least I have these nice weather gloves. Now, I was thinking about my setup here, that I could adjust my setup. And basically, use that mixer, that portable mixer, plus a digital recorder. I was thinking I could get one of those external SD card recorders with a microphone jack. and then plug that in for the recording side and not even use a phone for recording. Which would be just more work. I mean, having the second phone for recording is good. Is that a woodpecker? Got a baseball field, got a basketball court, we got a tennis court with a little pavilion in the center for observing. Get a bathhouse. Yeah, I was just thinking that things are the way they're supposed to be. And if they weren't supposed to be this way, they'd be changed. It's like everything kind of fits into some kind of schema. Mathematically speaking. I take my horse to the Old Town Road. I'm gonna ride till I can't ride no more. You guys watch that video yet? It's good what I learned in school for my kid. It's like going to school again myself. Yeah, so we were looking at subdividing a page. Oh, bad credit help. 888-640 race. Bum 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 bum. We got some neoclassical buildings here with columns. So here's a mathematical question. If you've got a paper, 8x11, and you want to draw a tree structure on it that is, and the powers of 2, what are the sizes to fit? How big do you make the lines to fit? And how many layers can you fit in there, given a resolution of a pencil and a hand? And also the width. And making it symmetrical. So if we have 8, and then we take the log 2 of 8, well, that's going to be 3. And then if we have 11, we take the log 2 of 11, it's going to be 3 something. It's going to be less than 16 and more than 8. And that will give us some information about how many levels we could have. We could have between 3 and 4 levels. But I got more levels in there. That's the subdivision. So if we have four levels, that's 16. So it's like 8, it's 8 inches wide, you divide it by 2, that's 4. It's 4 inches wide, you divide that by 2. It's 2. And then you divide it by 2 again, and it's 1. But in actuality, a 1 inch, we could fit more than one node in an inch. So we really need to divide that inch up so we could fit another layer in there. And that's just if we do halves. This would be folding it in half and half again. And I guess we could just fold the paper in half and then half again until we get these little segments, and then use that to draw the lines. I think that's a good starting point for a drawing of a tree structure. To take up the page and start by folding it and see what folds we could use. And a lot of this is just like, think of an experiment, then go do that experiment and observe it. So another way that I did it is I took the smallest amounts I could make and made a little triangle and then another triangle next to it, and then I connected them one level up with a third triangle. And then repeated that process until I got to the top of the page. Well, I didn't even go to the top of the page. It only went halfway through. So we have to use the wide side. Really, the bound is the width, not the height. So if it's 11 inches, and the smallest triangle you can make is a half an inch, that's 22 triangles, and 22 is less than 32, which is 2 to the, you could definitely fit 32. I definitely fit 32 onto the page. So it's going to be smaller than a half an inch. So then 11 divided by 32 is the question. What's the size? 1/3 of an inch, 1/30. All right. I'm just thinking of little centimeter squares. But, yeah, I'm not going to make any excuses now. You're definitely rambling here. Rambling. Look at this river. It's beautiful. We got fog on the river. It's funny how the cycle of water works. Where the water recycles. It goes down from the mountains into the rivers, into the oceans. Comes back as rain. Carrying away the dirt, erosion of the land into the oceans. And then the volcanoes creating new land. Earthquakes, tectonics. I'm listening to one of these podcasts, which is This Day in Weather History. And in the 80s, there was this huge earthquake in Alaska, and the plate shifted 18 feet. One went down and one went up. It created a huge tidal wave as well. It just slipped. All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to take a break here. I'm going to listen to more of the new Free Talk Live. I want to find out a little bit more of what's going on. And it just shows you that they were planning something against these people for quite some time. And a black cat just crossed my path. They were planning something against these people for some time. I'll be back. All right, we got the last stretch home here. And I thought I would torture you a little bit. So Free Talk Live, they're talking about the Bitcoin6.com. You can check it out. And they raided all of their computers and everything. So the first observation is that if you're going to do something that has risky regulatory issues, the best thing would be to separate it physically from anything else and to keep accurate inventory. So we should just plan on being raided. Let's start with that. Or plan on having your machine stolen. If you take that attitude, it might make you a different target. So that's something to think about. But these guys had everything all mixed up together. So the more organized you are, the easier you are to raid, unless you're so organized that you're distributed. All right. Well, I guess this all gets back into key management, doesn't it? It gets back to prime numbers. It's like, pick a prime number. And, I guess that involves constructing numbers that will get you close to it. Now, that makes me think, what if you could take a sequence like the E the light and reach a series of prime numbers that are related to a constant, like pi or I or E. If we could take, let's say, the millionth digit of pi, or pi to a million digits, and turn that into a prime number. Like, what are the prime numbers that resonate with pi? Which are reachable. And that might be a way of remembering a prime number. Of course, those would be easy to attack if you knew them, so I'm just blowing those up right now. But it's an interesting thought. And, well, the reason why I turned the microphone back on is I wanted to say that only what we really can prove to ourselves do we know. Everything else is just copy and paste. And we have to move out of a copy and paste world into I know something world. So I'm thinking, what is it that we really know? What can we actually prove? What are the limits of our knowledge? And what I'm kind of imagining here are two hands and how you can touch all the fingers together. Let's say prayer, right? There's the first finger touching the first finger, the second finger touching the second finger, the thumb touching the thumb. So that is one way you can combine your fingers. And then if we just swap two fingers, let's say we swap the middle and the ring fingers. We have the middle finger touching the ring finger and the ring finger touching the middle finger. But we could also do it the other way. And they're not equivalent. It's the question, do you have the left hand ring finger touching the right hand middle finger, or the other way around? So if you think about all these combinations of your fingers, oh, what was that sound? Oh, I think that was the garbage. I already took the garbage out. I have now a garbage alarm, so I don't forget it. So if you just think about all the different combinations of what finger can touch what other finger, we could even reverse our fingers and have our pinky touch our thumbs. We could do it the other way around. So every finger of five can touch every other finger of five, plus every other finger on its hand. So one finger can touch 10 other fingers. But it could also touch, all of them can touch all of them. So you can put all 10 fingers together at one point. So I think that's a good place to start in terms of combinations, and start thinking about, what if I have all five fingers from one hand touching the thumb of the other hand? Right. Or have all of them touching except the pinky of the one hand. So I can just go through all of those. So I could take all 10 and then remove one. So 9 plus 1 is 10. 8 plus 2 is 10. So this is then the addition table. All right. 1 plus 1 is 2. 1 plus 2 is 3. 2 plus 3 is 5. 100 different additions. And then if we take the ordering of the fingers, so if I say the pinky is touching the index finger, that's 5 plus 6, plus 4 plus 7, plus 8 plus 3. So when we get into pairs, it's going to actually create a more of a complexity. So it might get into something like 100, and then remove one finger. So one finger can occur in 100 different variations, and 9 fingers can occur in 81 different variations. You just leave one out. You get 9 times 9. When you leave 2 out, you get 8 times 8, 64. So I think it's going to be like 100 plus 91, 81 plus 64, etc. We're going to get a bunch of different variations. What fingers could be added together. I guess we could also remove some possibilities that are just not physically possible due to the nature of our hand. I would just take 3 fingers. Well, if I take 2 fingers, let's start with that. They could be apart, they could be together. So 2 fingers have 2 possibilities. Or I could just have 1 finger out. Be out or in. 2 could be out, they could be touching, they could be in. So I guess a finger could have 3 states. I mean, it has more than 3 states, but those are some simplified ones. But let's just say that they're touching or not touching. The 2 are touching or not touching. So then if we have 3 fingers, all 3 could be touching. Or the 3rd could be touching the 1st one or the 2nd one. So there's 3 more possibilities besides all 3 not touching. So 4 possibilities. So what do we have? For one, we have one possibility. For two, we have two possibilities. For three, I think we covered. Four more. We can't count the same ones over again. Meaning we have three fingers and two touching. Anyway, I'm getting lost. I'm getting myself lost here. So I think we need to iterate over these again. Let's just start with thumbs out is one. Two fingers out is two. Two fingers touching is three. Third finger, all three out. That's four. All three touching is five. Thumb touching the middle finger, six. Thumb touching index finger, seven. Middle finger and ring and index finger touching is eight. So with three, I've got eight possibilities so far. It's two cubed. Add a fourth finger in. All four out. It's nine. Ring and middle finger touching is 10. Middle ring and index touching is 11. Thumb added in, all touching, is 12. And then remove the ring and all are touching is 13. Remove the middle, so just thumb and index are touching. It's 14. And now, thumb out, and only middle and index are touching. It's 15. Losing track of where we were. It could be 16. Could be 2 cubed, n cubed. We'll see. 2 to the n. It could just be 16. I'll work it out on paper. I'm having a hard time remembering all these parts. But you can't just add in the old ones, because if you add an extra finger that's not touching, it's still a part of it. Morning. That's still part of the an extra finger just hanging out. Is part of the equation. So we could just start by saying you'd have 10 fingers hanging out. That's the first possibility. You have 10 fingers all closed. That's one other possibility. So those are just them being open or closed. That's two bits, two possibilities. That's 2 to the 10th, 10 bits, open and closed. And then we add a third possibility. That each of the 10 could touch any other of the one other of the other fingers. But there's only 9 other fingers it could touch. So it's plus 2 to the 10th plus 9 Huh?
How are your two remaining birds?
They're happy. Yeah, I think it was planned by the, all right. That was the leaf lady. I was just dropping some ideas. So I have this idea that we create an LLC for buying up sidewalks that are owned, or buying up parcels of land that are owned by the city that they don't maintain a sidewalk on. And then the community could do a sidewalk there, or a path, put wood chips in. So, morning. I thought that would be So I thought that would be a good idea to take the liability off of the owner and the financial burden and set up a community path company that would maintain the area. So our chickens were in the newspaper. The chicken fire was in the newspaper, as well as she mentioned in the Green Team. I got to find that article. So I found this willow tree. It's not willow, it's got these buds on it. I don't know if it's a willow. It's got these brown buds, or green buds on it. Someone threw away. And I was thinking I could root it somehow. Got to get the bubbler out. All right, so those are my ideas for the day. And I guess we have degenerated to a rambling podcast. But we have some ideas in here. At least I got my steps in. Can't stop walking. And I might as well record and share something with you. I mean, why not? Who's to say we shouldn't do it, huh? All right, take care. Have a nice day. Well, I just wanted to say I've been working in my head on this problem. And basically, the question of two fingers is that for every, you have 10 fingers, and each one can connect to 9 others for the first step. And then in the second step, the second finger can connect to 8 others because I already connected the first. And then the third finger can connect to 7 others. so it just goes down until you get the last finger. I guess either has no connections or one connection. And then for the third fingers, you can take each of those combinations of two fingers and then add in one of the remaining fingers. So if the first finger can have nine connections to others, then you could add in eight other. And then I need to work out the numbers. So anyway, more tomorrow. See ya. Gotta feed my chicks.